Okay, 1 Corinthians, and I don't know if you know much about the Corinthian church, but they suffered some problems, didn't they? They suffered problems like division, and therefore, because they had division, they had a very poor testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a lot of self-righteous pride. Look at chapter 1 and verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and there be no divisions among you. You be united in the same mind of the same judgment. Paul got a report that there was quarreling in verse 11. And people had their favorites. People said, oh, I follow Peter. I follow Apollos. I like Paul. This happens today in the church. Oh, I'm a MacArthurite. Oh, I'm a Piperite. Oh no, I like this person, and they can conflict with one another. But in the same church, it was definitely lethal. Now go down to verse 27 of chapter 1. Or 26, consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you are wise, powerful, noble birth. God chose what's foolish. God chose, verse 28, what is low and despised, so that no one would boast in the presence of God. Verse 30, Corinthians, understand your life is not about you. Your life is about God. Somebody read verse 30 nice and loudly. And you can read verse 31 too. 30 and 31. Who would like to read that? Go ahead, Terry, nice and loud.
For it is from God alone that you have learned life through Christ Jesus. He showed us God's plan of salvation. Everything that God He was the one who made us acceptable to God. He made us pure and holy and gave Himself to purchase our salvation.
Okay, so we're in union with Christ only because of His kindness and His grace. So this was how Paul began to address the myriad of problems in the Corinthians church, therefore their families and individual lives. So we go back every time where there's issues and we say, wait a second, why are we in Christ? What's our unity in Christ? What about His grace? What do we have that we have not received? Am I living for the glory of the Lord? Am I boasting in the Lord, or am I boasting in myself? Have I become too big for my britches? Let's go now to chapter 12, where we start our study tonight. So we saw their eyes were on themselves versus the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not focused on the freedom we have by glorying in Christ, but they were focused on their own interest. And now in chapter 12, we see one of the expressions of their selfishness is they were looking at one another and they were placing value on one another, or not giving value and honor to other believers, because they said, well, these people have a little more exciting gifts and they have a little better performance. And some members, from my standpoint, they're not very impressive at all. They don't seem to have talents or skills or gifts. And so we have the Corinthians obsessing with power and status, overvaluing some members' contributions, and then undervaluing some other people's contributions to the body of Christ. What is he doing in chapter 12? Paul's coming along because of Jesus Christ. He's going to equal the playing field here. He's going to highlight the equality we have in Christ. And if any of us have anything to offer to serve one another, it's completely because of the gift of the Lord. It's all a gift. You say, well, that's pretty self-explanatory, but as we examine this idea of gift, we're going to see that there's a lot of things against us in our culture that have us do this when it comes to the idea of gifts. But what the Lord gives us actually is a whole bunch of gifts by his grace to serve one another. Now let's consider our verses tonight, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now, there's the topic. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that way back, before you were saved, when you were pagans, you were led astray. You were led astray to idols that didn't even talk. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand, when you're in that setting of being led astray by false idols, that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And also understand that no one can ever say that Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts. The same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who, notice this phrase, the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And this theme of everyone is picked up in verse 7. To each is given the revealing or the manifesting of the Spirit. Why? For the common good. So here's a principle about spiritual gifts right off the bat. It's for the common good. Verse 8 is going to explain that. That's the word for. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Another one is given the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Well, they have two different gifts, and it's the same Spirit. Let's go on. To another, verse 9, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as the Lord wills. So here's our study tonight, my friends, our discussion, our gift-giving Savior. I would imagine that we'll be in these passages 12 through 14 for, it might take a while since we don't meet every Sunday night, but we'll be here for a little bit. But here's the theme, our gift-giving Savior. Number one, the first truth I want you to see, gifts have been graciously given to the body of Christ. There's your blank. You're a believer. You're in the body. God has graciously, besides his kindness in Jesus Christ, he's also given us gifts. Gifts have been graciously given to the body of Christ. Now look at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. I think if you could think of that as, I don't want you to be confused or misinformed about gifts. So I ask you this first question tonight. What are some ways that we can be confused about spiritual gifts? What are some ways that we can be confused about spiritual gifts? Or how are spiritual gifts confusing to us sometimes? You would just think in your own life. Here's spiritual gifts. This part of spiritual gifts is confusing. Grant.
It seems like some churches will either overemphasize, and that's something they talk about all the time, or other churches will just never bring it up.
Yeah. What's up with that? It's just like dichotomy here. What else? Don't be shy. What's confusing sometimes about gifts? Or even think as an unbeliever, what's confusing about this? Yeah. Okay. That's good. Did you hear is there a difference between like spiritual gifts and like just natural abilities? And man, there seems like there's unbelievers with no spiritual gifts and they're like way more talented than us. And we can confuse this sometimes. Somebody else.
I
How could we be misinformed or confused about this topic of spiritual gifts? Dick?
Our emotions. We tend to look at things and say, gee, that's bad, that's good, or that's bad.
Okay. Okay, emotional issue. Asanya?
So, it says gifts of healing.
Okay.
You know, think about the faith healer, that living hands and all of that, we know that that is just not happening, right? So then you have to just understand that it's more like the gift of being a doctor, or a nurse, or somebody who's capable of helping to figure out their ailments, you know, and the gift of that ability. So just knowing how to.
Okay, so Sonia is saying, I'm not sure if all these same gifts are in operation today. And if they aren't, who can say whose aren't and whose are? Because there's some that are, but then you have the faith healers that claim to be able to do that. I mean, I lived over by Ernest Angley. Do you remember Ernest Angley? And he like touched the TV screen and the blood name of Jesus be healed. And it was like really weird. He had a good buffet though at his church. He had a buffet restaurant. So at least something was going for him. So I would guess as an unbeliever listening to discussion, I'd be like, this is kind of odd. And then we think about, so God gives gifts to some of us and they're different from the other people's. And some are in front of people, some are others. Some are temporary, some are permanent. Who decides this? So let's start then with some of the basics. Let's start with some of the basics about gifts. D.A. Carson, he explains that spiritual gifts here in verse 1 can be translated simply as grace gifts. Grace gifts. Now, that's not to say that spiritual gifts are better than grace, but spiritual gifts can be seen as displays or exhibits of God's grace to and in his people. So God gives us displays of grace, and they are different, and they're all because of his grace. So at the core of spiritual gifts, they're gifts. They're things that God has given to us. So I can't earn this. I can't deserve this. It's something that God gives us. Now that's challenging because we have a very achievement-based culture. I achieve things. And even though we understand the word gift, we don't have a lot of examples of pure gift in our culture. Even when we have celebrations that include gifts, we often have some accomplishment attached to it. So we give a gift to graduates. We give a gift at Christmas to kids if you're naughty, if you're not naughty, but you're nice. We give advancement type gifts, wedding, promotion, retirement. When we receive a gift that we don't care for, that never happens, right? But if we do, you can return it. You can re-gift it. We sometimes think we have earned the right to pick and choose the gifts that we receive. And we could even feel cheated if the gift we get from someone is not as good as the gift we give. My birthday is tomorrow, by the way. You don't need to get me anything. But my daughter, got me an awesome gift. You know what it was? Oh, it's fun. Have you seen one of those tennis rackets that you put batteries in the handle and you swat at bugs? Oh, yeah. Have you seen that? It zaps them. That was a great gift. See, they say guys are hard to get gifts from. I disagree. You just have to think crazy. And you're like, I can get a gift like that. So When we talk about, like, we have achievements and that's why we get gifts, that is very poisonous and dangerous in God's kingdom. It pollutes an accurate understanding of God, the church, Jesus, righteousness, salvation, one another, ourselves, everything. One thinks that they deserve a better life than they have. And he thinks, or he, she thinks, that we can get it for himself if they give enough effort. And so we have a hard time seeing the gift-giving nature of the Lord. And so Paul is calling us as a church to have a total shift of thinking. That when we look at ourselves, when we look at who we are, we must look at ourselves as receiving the gift of Jesus Christ. He is everything that we have. And this is the core of what Paul says before he enters into a couple of confusing verses, verses 2 and 3. Verse 2 says, you know that when you were pagans, some of your translations may have unbelievers there or Gentiles, clearly people apart from grace, before we came to salvation. Before that, we were led astray by idols. The word led astray, it's the verb form to where we get the word planets today. That the ancients viewed planets just as kind of wandering aimlessly around. And this is the idea. We are led astray by idols. Things that weren't God. Not only were they not God, they were mute. They weren't able to communicate. You were led. But these false idols, energized by Satan, and in these bizarre practices and these Christless religions that they had once been involved in, they would enter into ceremonies and sometimes altered states of mind. And in this state of mind, untouched by the grace of God, they would say things even against Christ. They would say that Jesus is accursed. By the way, do you notice this? That Satan, it's not tricky to believers. He always assaults some aspect of the person of Christ. He goes after our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And apparently what was happening here is it was saying that a Christ spirit left the human Jesus before his death. And therefore Jesus died a cursed death just as a mere man. But his point here is this. If we are affirming as God's people the basics of the basics, that Jesus actually is the Lord. And this was the basic confession of faith. If we have been brought from idolatry to confessing that no, this Jewish man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is actually the Lord God of the universe. And I understand that he saves me not because of something I can achieve or earn or arrive at self-exertion. He saves me purely by his gift of mercy and grace. And I say freely, Jesus is Lord. If I can say that in my heart and it comes out of my mouth, that is not something that we do ourselves. It's a gift. Or as our text says, it can only be made in the Spirit. Faith is given. Faith is a gift. And so his point here is that saying that affirmation by the power of the Spirit removes all pride, all ego, because of my ability and my skills. As a matter of fact, even my ability to affirm in my heart the gracious, free work of Jesus Christ, that the Spirit of God comes into my life and no longer Jesus is a curse, but Jesus is the Lord God of the universe, that salvation is through Jesus alone. His point is, from the very start, salvation is by grace. It's a gift. And now here's the amazing thing. Based on that foundation of salvation, by the gracious work of the Spirit. He claims now in verses 4 through 6 that a lot of what we feel and think as believers is just, well, it's my temperament, or I had natural ability, or a good upbringing, or even a college education. Paul says these things are actually gifts from the Lord Jesus for the good of the church. He says these gifts, verse 4, these services, verse 5, these activities, 6, are all given because God empowers them in everyone. Let's read it, verse 4 and 6, by the way. Now, there are varieties of gifts, same Spirit. Varieties of service, same Lord. Varieties of activities, same God, who empowers them all in everyone. Here's a direct challenge. Here's a threat to an achievement-based culture that I am what I do, I am what I earn, I am what I obtain. My value is because of this pizzazz or that pizzazz. No, it's all to the credit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. Now, I want to move to point 2, but I want to stop and make sure this first point, gifts have been graciously given to the body of Christ. I want to see if there's any questions on this first point before we move on, or any points of discussion before we move on. Are we reminded that whatever these gifts may be, from the very point of salvation where the Spirit of God convinced you as a gift that Jesus is Lord, to now the fact that you've received a gift or gifts, it's all a gift. Like, you and I didn't do anything to earn it. I remember working with a guy one time when I actually was leading a Christmas cantata. That's what you have to do in a church plant sometimes, do crazy things. And I said, you know, there's a solo part here, and I need somebody to sing it. So this blue-collar, go-get-em guy says, Pastor Dave, if you need somebody to sing it, I've never done it before, but I'll sing it. I'm like, okay. He had a naturally, I don't know how you call it, naturally operatic, just talented voice. He sings all over the place now, all kinds of churches. It's amazing. Just willing. I've seen that in some of you where it's like, whoa, that is God's Spirit really is using you in a special way. That's God's grace. Any questions or comments over this first point? Yeah, Shirley? Yes. So Shirley is hopping to a good point. How do you know? How do you recognize this? How do you recognize this in yourselves and others, your kids, your friends, church members? How can we encourage one another and the just stepping out in faith and using and serving? I want to talk about that, but I think that's a very good thought that you have. What do you enjoy doing? I can recognize some gifts in you that came from the Lord, Shirley. Maybe some others can as well. And sometimes maybe we aren't thinking about one another in that way and just rejoicing in that sense. Boy, we can see negatives easy, but think about, boy, they're the Spirit of God has given them a gift. Sometimes we don't know our gifts because we don't do anything. And we have to step out on faith. And then suddenly, wow, not only do I enjoy this, but people recognize that it's a real spiritual blessing when you do this. I get notes from some of you, and I can tell there's a person that really has the gift of encouragement. They just continue to encourage. And wow, they see things that I didn't even think about. Any other questions or thoughts before we... yeah, Dan. Nice and loud. We're gonna talk about that soon, but yeah, I would say you're right on. We're talking about serving on a local church level. Okay, number two, various gifts have been received for the good of the body of Christ. Various gifts have been received for the good of the body of Christ. So everyone has received a spiritual gift or gifts from God. Look at verse 7. To each is what? Given. That means you didn't earn it, right? Is that what it means? To each is given. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Why? For the common good. Now let me give you a cross reference in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to what? Serve one another as good managers, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Here's some examples. Whoever speaks, hey, remember when you speak, you're speaking God's word. Whoever serves, remember, you're going to be weak, but you're serving by the strength that God supplies, not in yourself, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. After all, that's the end of all things. To him belong the glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, we approach God's gift, the spiritual gifts, we see it come together. As in our salvation by grace, spiritual gifts are given by God's grace, not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of one another, so that God receives all the glory. And this is what Paul has been telling us from the very beginning of the book. If you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. Don't be serving the Lord and wanting people to notice you. Oh, they didn't notice me. Well, that's a blessing they didn't notice you. Or that's a blessing they didn't say anything, because that wasn't going to fill your love cup anyway. Oh, I want more. I want people to know. That doesn't do it. We deflect everything to Jesus. We reflect everything to the Lord. It's for his glory. Now, look at verse 7. The attention in verse 6 and in verse 7 is clearly on the eachness, to eachness of gifts. And this is a blessing, because you may wonder, do I have anything to contribute to the body of Christ? What do I have to bring to the community? What are my gifts? I mean, after all, Jesus says it's for the common good. Well, that's a worry you don't need to have, okay? Now, you may not feel that way, but the Spirit of God has given you at least a gift, if not more. You don't have to work up to it, but we do live into our gifts, or maybe we could say serve into our gifts. They're not things that we earn. They're, after all, grace gifts. And these grace gifts, experiencing God's grace in Christ, is given to us for the common good. That's the encouragement. Now, we may not always be using and exercising our gifts, or we may be focused on ourselves, and you could even be depriving the body of your gifts. You could be stingy with your gifts. So every Christian has a responsibility to bless the rest of the community with his or her gifts. You say, where do I start? Well, I would just say, are your eyes open to people around you? Your eyes open. Are you focused on what other people are going through? Or are you focusing on them coming to you? No. So we start by saying, how can I help and serve? But I can say also, based on the text, that a grace gift will be uniquely fitted by the Lord to each individual believer. Let's start at verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, another the utterance of knowledge, then faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy. distinguishing spirits, tongues, and then interpretation of tongues. I want you to see here, we're not going to get through everything in detail tonight. We got three chapters to do that. But I want you to see the great variety of gifts. And these are probably main categories, not subcategories, and there are many different lists of gifts. Probably not a comprehensive list. Overall types, overall categories. These are not the same as natural abilities. I know that there have been people blessed with all kinds of talents and abilities, and some of that is just God giving common grace to everybody. But what we're talking about here is not some just natural talent, but this is actually encouraging someone spiritually through a spirit-imparted grace gift. Through a grace gift, a Christian is showing the reality that Jesus Christ is the gracious Lord over every area of life. And not everybody can do that with their natural talents. Matter of fact, some natural talents that God could use, because the person's such a proud snob, it doesn't bless anybody. But here, grace gifts have been given to each believer to faithfully cultivate and to steward in order to most effectively serve in the body. Now, I don't know your experience with this. I can share mine briefly. I had no plans ever to speak or to be a pastor. I wanted to be a police officer. That's why I went to school. I think I would do okay as a police officer. But the Lord had other plans. I thought pastors were kind of... Mike, what's a good word? Geeky, nerds, bad dressers. I learned that's just most dads in general. No, I was in the days where, you know, some of you remember this, and I hate to bring this up, but pastors would wear red polyester suits on different holidays, white polyester suits. You remember, Rick, you know what I'm talking about. You haven't gone through that suffering? Okay, well, it's not good. I used to just think, those guys are always weird. Well, the Lord had his plans for me. But let's look at some of these gifts. Now, I look at these gifts, and generally they're broken down to three main categories. Speaking gifts is the first one we'll look at, and then serving gifts, and then leadership gifts. Speaking and serving and leadership. The speaking gifts are abilities based on understanding the truth and then articulating the truth or speaking the truth. So on this passage, we have the utterance of wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation. Other categories in the New Testament would be like evangelism, teaching, speaking, which we saw in 1 Peter 4. The idea of wisdom and knowledge most likely had to do with revelation, giving revelation in the first century. But today, this is like the ability to understand and speak God's truth from his words. So like knowledge would grasp the meaning of truth, and wisdom emphasizes the practical fleshing out of biblical knowledge. Prophecy means speaking forth or proclaiming publicly. Since we have a completed scripture, we would understand that prophecy is now limited to proclaiming what has already been revealed in the written word of God. The Puritans, if you know maybe like the main Puritan preaching book, it's called The Art of Prophesying. The Art of Prophesying. What did he mean by that? He meant not by giving new revelation, but by reiterating the Word of God, reiterating the Word of God. Another gift that was important to protect the church is discernment, or what's called here the distinguishing of spirits. So distinguishing has to do with examining to determine what's genuine versus counterfeit. And of course, every Christian is called to do this, that we need to judge carefully what we hear and read and not believe every spirit, 1 John 4:1, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. So this would have been especially value in the early church because the New Testament had not been fully completed. Expensive copying, difficulty of copying. Many years, the churches probably didn't have a completed Bible like we have today. So you think of distinguishing of spirits, think of a sense of protectors of the church, protectors of the church. Then you have the most controversial spiritual gift in our day, various kinds of tongues. We are going to deal with this in chapter 14, so I'm not going to deal with this much here. I would just say that generally Bible believers are, they understand these to be temporary sign gifts that are not active in the church today. Their ministry in the New Testament church, like many of the other sign gifts we'll see tonight, was really to validate the gospel, to validate the message of the gospel, the power of the gospel. However, as valid as tongues were, they were abused and they were disproportionately exalted by the church in Corinth even when they were in use. Now that's not Paul's point yet. We're going to get to that misuse of tongues in chapter 14. Now Paul is simply naming them to show the great diversity in the gifts sovereignly given by the Spirit of God. Now there's serving gifts. Anybody have any questions briefly over the speaking gifts? Speaking gifts. You say, I have questions, chapter 14, with tongues. Secondly, serving gifts. Serving gifts. So here's abilities to understand and supply the basic needs of people in the church. Understand what they are and to supply. We have Romans 12 talks about encouragement, exhortation. There's serving as pastor. There's the gift of serving. There's the gift of sharing or giving. There's mercy. There's helping. Here in our text, I would include the idea of healing and working miracles under the serving gifts, healing and working of miracles. I understand that these healings proper belong to the apostles. They were sign gifts given to the apostles. And we want to be careful here that although we may not have the gift of healings per se, God tells us in James 5 that he certainly hears and answers the faithful prayers of his children. We know from even going through the book of Matthew that Jesus and then the apostles healed on occasion to show the power of the gospel to change lives. Now, this was due to the need to accredit Jesus the Messiah and the gospels. But even by Paul's day, notice this, healings weren't the norm even in Paul's day. How many times are we reading in the letters about people being sick in Paul's party? And what about 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Paul had what? A thorn in his? Why didn't he just heal himself? Or call up Ernest Angley or Benny Hinn? Kind of goes along with this morning's message, this idea of like, well, of course God wants me healed. He wouldn't want me to suffer and so forth. So I also find it interesting that when Paul or Peter entered a new regions, for instance, like the island of Malta, where the gospel was brand new and the preacher needed authentication, suddenly what happened? A snake bit Paul, and what happened? Yeah, authenticated the gospel. So I'm just throwing it out there. I think we see the same with miracles, sign gifts for the working of divine acts contrary to nature. And the point of that, those miracles, is there was no other explanation except this must be the power of God. And so when the gospel was ministered, when Christ and the apostles were preaching the gospel, it says in John 2:11, when Jesus did his first miracle at Cana, it was to what? Manifest his glory. It was to manifest the glory of Jesus Christ. It was not to enhance the party. Acts 2 affirms that Jesus did miracles to attest, to verify that God was working through him so that people would believe in him as Lord and Savior. Pastor Dave, you saying God can't heal and do miracles? I'm not saying that. We have examples of that. But we're talking about these as actual individual gifts. That's different today. Point E, we see leading gifts. Leading gifts. This seems to be the ability based to understand the direction and the group needs. We have pastors and elders, evangelists. There's leadership gifts. There's something called administration. Administration gifts? Wow. I think this is the idea of faith. He's not talking about salvation. I don't think he's even talking about someone being faithful. I mean, that's for everybody, right? I mean, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't have faith. Or I'm a Christian, and I'm not faithful. It's not my gift. No. That's not what's to be talked about here. What's talking about here is the gift of God to really envision what he is doing and to strongly hang on to that and envision a goal clearly. It seems to be part of a leading gift. And I'm not saying that's a formal office in the church. You may share this yourself. But really, and this brings us back to what Shirley was saying, a quick guide to determine your gift might be just to say, what do I love? What am I good at? As I care for other people, what just is natural to me? Well, I just love to give to people. I just see needs and give to them. You say, well, that can't be my gift because I'm not wealthy. It has nothing to do with that. The Corinthians were poor, and some of them had this. You don't have to have wealthy because, you know, money is not the only thing you give. You give time, you give energy, you give care. What do you love? What's your affinity? What's your ability? What do people recognize in you as you serve? The problem arises sometimes when, rather than focusing on the common good, we want something that God hasn't allowed us to have. We want attention. We jockey for the best gifts. We grab these things. Or maybe more popular is gift cop-out. I would do that, but it's not my gift. Now, of course, as we get older, we learn I have a limited amount of energy and I can't do everything, right? We have to be wise with that. But this is just, I'm just not going to get involved because that's just not me. After all, I'm whatever. So these are two dangers here. Gift grabbing, jockeying for position, or gift cop-out that I have this gift, and so I'm not going to help you because that's not my skill set. How do we break out of that gift grabbing or gift cop-out mindset? Oh, by the way, I get asked this sometimes. Sarcasm is not a spiritual gift. Okay. So, now, some of you are very good at it. I concede. But it's not a spiritual gift. How do we break out of gift grabbing or gift cop-out? Well, we focus again, final brief point, number 3, the giver of grace gifts to the body of Christ, the giver of grace gifts to the body of Christ. Look at verse 4 as we focus on the gift giver. Now, there are varieties of gifts. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's varieties of service. Only one Lord Jesus Christ. There are varieties of activities, but same God the Father. And he's the one who's empowering them all in everyone. Well, there's no accident that Paul sets up all these parallels, right? Varieties, same Spirit, varieties of service, same Lord, varieties of activities, the same God. What's he doing here? He's emphasizing the inner workings of God himself, or we would say the Godhead. The Spirit gives. The Son serves. God the Father energizes his people to serve the common good. So, it's no longer about gift grabbing or gift cop out, because Jesus didn't consider his gifts or abilities something to be held on to tightly. And see, this is how the gospel turns all of our ideas upside down. After Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for us, the Holy Spirit gave gifts to each member of the body of Christ. So Jesus perfectly achieved what sinners could never do so, a righteousness. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us perfect righteousness so that we're free to receive the gift that we could never deserve. And Jesus actually overturned the culture of achievement, and he created the culture of giving and salvation. But he doesn't just stop there. He perpetually gives, and the Spirit is also in a perpetual state of self-giving. This is what verse 11 says, that the Spirit of God, he apportions, there's another word for gifts, he apportions our gifts to each one individually as he wills, and he's actually empowering those to whom he gives his gifts. So God himself overcomes our achievement-centered culture by continuously giving himself away. Not reducing his essence, but he gives, and he gives, and he gives, and he gives. And that's how we can give to others. So this frees us, my friends, of having to fight to be somebody. Status, position, notice me. Your abilities, my abilities, skills, gifts are a result of grace. They are given. It frees us to be humble, to truly deflect everything to Jesus Christ. By the way, everything we have, we didn't earn. It's by grace. This allows us as Christians to invest in others because our gifts are actually for the purpose of the common good. When you're focused on yourself and what can people do for me, what is your attitude going to be? Me, me, me. Focus on me. What can the church do for me? Those people didn't do enough for me when I was kind of down. Blah, 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 blah. There's no joy there. There's no grace there. Individuals no longer have to gift grab because the gracious Spirit has graciously given us gifts to serve one another. See, the community of God's people are intended to reflect the self-giving nature of God. And see, exercising of gifts is a way that builds up the body of Christ. And really, as we try to answer some of the delicate questions of, boy, the church today, they seem to have all these gifts, and I'm not sure if that's a legitimate gift. I just would say this. Is the gift, first of all, being used to build up the body of Christ, or is it being used for personal advantage? That's the biggest test. See, gifts, spiritual gifts, are conduits through which the community is supposed to stick together and seek the Lord and serve the Lord together. It's kind of that economic principle to pay it forward. The life-giving work of the Spirit empowers us, enables us as the church to share its gifts. It's grace that always leads us to use the gifts rather than think that I'm earning gifts and earning God's grace. It's all about seeing what God has given me and just cycling that out, I'm giving to others. Boy, what? How are you becoming so giving? Like, it's Christ in me. It's what the Lord is doing. This takes us back to 1 Peter 4. I want to read 1 Peter 4, but I have 4 minutes for questions or discussions or thoughts or applications from our study tonight on spiritual gifts. Questions, thoughts, aha moments. Chris. How do you help someone that's pursuing God? What does that mean?
So they're trying to know what they're going to start thinking.
Okay. So in pursuing God, I'm assuming that would mean that they're pursuing God in community and they're around other people. Because that's pursuing God that you and I would understand biblically. And so we pursue God in community, we love God, we love our neighbors, we're investing in each other's, and we trust the Lord to sovereignly reveal some of these things either more clearly or in some cases less clearly. So I think they're on the right track. Not trying to be overly simplistic, but that's just how the Lord operates. You move forward and you serve and allow God to reveal. Somebody else, some questions, thoughts? Yeah.
I just wanted to say about two ladies in our church. One sends cards constantly.
Yeah.
Encouraging people. And the other one not only sends cards, but a pretty picture that she paints herself.
Yes.
Or colors herself.
Right.
Plus encouraging words go
right
along with it.
Right. Yeah, that's a blessing. Cards. I've received some of those. Just transitioning into being a person of prayer. Hey, I can't do physically what I've always done. That's to be able to see those needs and to pray is a great gift of the Lord. Somebody else, some thoughts, encouragement, questions? Okay, let me finish by reading 1 Peter 4 again, then we're done. As each has received, there's the operative word, right? Received a gift, grace gift. Use it to serve one another. I don't know what it is. Well, it's serve. Start serving. And as you serve, notice that you're just a steward of what God's given you. I see a manager or steward is just somebody that receives something of somebody else's and you're just managing it. Of God's grace, but in this case, these spiritual gifts have great variety. Two of the categories he's going to deal with here is speaking and serving. Whoever speaks as example, be as one who speaks as oracles of God. You're speaking God's word after all. Whoever serves, maybe this applies to you. Whoever serves, do it as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Wow. You say, I don't have a lot of strength. My spiritual gift, Pastor Dave, is sitting on the couch and falling asleep. Well, we are very weak, aren't we? I mean, it seems like we're sleeping half our lives, or at least looking for coffee. Notice, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So it's by faith. You say, I'm so weak, I feel like our efforts are so low. Well, in order that in everything, you're not looking for your own glory anyway, that God may be glorified. By the way, is that why you're serving? Is that why you want to serve? So that God would be glorified? I don't think there's ever going to be a church or a family or a relationship that's going to be messed up and hostile if we're doing it that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. What do you think? Do you think we're going to have a lot of church arguments if we're all serving by God's grace with the strength that God supplies so that God would be glorified in Jesus Christ? I don't think there would be. After all, here's the freedom we have in Jesus. To Jesus belong all glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, I can't give a better prayer than that, so I think we'll just end it right there. But this is our first of many studies on Introduction to Gifts. Chapter 13 is what? Is love, being the key ingredients while serving one another and superior to any of the miraculous gifts. And then chapter 14 is that confusing chapter we read for our devotions and we say, I guess we should study this some more sometime. So we'll get to that chapter. So you're dismissed. Blessings to you.